to call the City of Franklin's Common Council order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Dandridge.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skaronski.
Excuse. Please rise. Join with me in a pledge of allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on agenda is citizens' comment period. Any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Jim Lysak, 8756 West Mallard Court. I would like to speak on two issues tonight, so I'll speak on one now, and then I'll let everybody else speak, and then when they're all done, I'll speak on the second. First issue I'd like to bring up, though, is we're jumping ahead with a lot of projects going on in the City of Franklin. What are we doing about the old projects? The one that says, please take further notice that in the case that said razzing, removal, and restoration not made in the manner within time as herein before directed, the City of Franklin will avail itself of the remedies of set forth in, you know what I'm talking about.
No, actually, I don't.
Will include the razzing, removal, and restoration of the premise with the cost of such activity to be charged in full against the subject real estate located at 9661.
36 and Highway 100.
Both of them. And they've not been fixed up because there's broken windows, there's a door missing. Since when? Last April is when I filed a complaint. I got this in November, gave them 30 days notice. Now it's February. We're jumping ahead to all new things. What's being done?
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Sorry, I'm having some trouble with my throat.
My name is Diane Sanborn, and I live at 11860 West St. Martin's Road in Franklin. It says on today's agenda, number 13, of the Common Council meeting, a recommendation from the City of Franklin Complete Streets and Connectivity Committee of Alternate Design for the reconstruction of South North Cape Road. I looked online, and the minutes are not available from the last meeting. So may we please be allowed a citizens' comment period after they give the presentation so that we can provide feedback to you.
All right. Thank you very much. By the way, I got a number of calls regarding that issue, and that is the Connectivity Committee is a advisory committee to the Common Council, and so that's why it's here. To many of the people, I said that I was not going to change my position one iota, so wherever that is. All right, anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Kurt Bolden, 8035 West Imperial Drive, member of the Environmental Commission. One of the items on the agenda tonight is the use of rain gardens and whether the city wants to promote them or not. When I think about government, I think it's about people working together for a better community. And I think there's one way that citizens can work together for a better community, make sure that their water supply is safe and pure. And just want to let you know that I am available if you have any questions.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. The first statement I'd like to make is we've got a problem with the storm drains that are being closed because the plows don't push the snow back far enough, and all this water gets out in the street at night, it freezes. How can the water drain when the plows don't shove the snow all the way off the road? And they're sitting there. It's a disaster. Well, Mr. Bennett is well aware of it. I don't think he's going to do anything about it, but just so the Common Council knows about it. The Pleasant View Park in the Evergreen Extension, he showed us a plot which says 1991. And if you remember, my neighborhood has a plot for Southview to go through. I have an alderman, and he ain't doing nothing. And now we've got this 82nd Street. They're going to put a block-long sidewalk next to Ben Franklin School and go nowhere. And the people that live on that block weren't even notified. We need to recall some of these people that are on this Common Council. This is a disaster in the city. I pointed out some time ago that the common council, not only this one, but everyone that's been up here, is a disaster and they're ruining this city. I also want to make a comment on this pilfer that's coming in there for towing. Is it pilfer or pliffer or whatever you call it? They own that property on Forest Home Avenue. Well, that's a disaster over there, and I don't know what they're going to do coming to Franklin. One of the things also is that you and I have talked repeatedly about this audio system, and you're doing nothing about it. We're spending, they want to spend $15,000 to put that piece of concrete for a block, and nobody's doing anything about the audio system that's here.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Mayor?
Mr. Lewandowski, I happen to be your alderman, and first of all, the first point you brought up, the plot, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I don't know how you can say my alderman is there and he's not doing anything about it. I don't know what that is. Secondly, the...
Alderman, I think it'd be best to address the chair.
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Okay, the
you
plot...
You can yell at me.
The plot thing, I have no idea what he's talking about. So when he says his alderman is not doing anything, I don't know what that is. And for us to be able to do things, they have to be brought for us, before us. The second thing, the sidewalk, he has no idea how I stand on that because some of the citizens have contacted me, some of the residents have contacted me there, and so one of them was not Mr. Lewandowski, so he has no idea where I stand on that as well. So just wanted to get that out there.
Right.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say I think it was former Mayor Kleisman that started the citizens' comment period, and it was to... provide a forum for the citizens to express their concerns. I thought that what Mayor Kleimitz, Judge Kleimitz now, did was a good thing. I still do think it's a good thing. And Mr. Lewandowski and I, on occasion, might even disagree about a few items ourselves. But I do think that we should allow the people the ability to voice their concerns in this forum, and then we can take action after that.
If I may just follow up for one second,
sure.
That I completely agree on that, but when they are incorrect in their statements, they need to be corrected. Thank you.
Okay. anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Sir. Yes, sir. Could you please state your name and address for the record?
David Kuharski, 6821 Redwood Court. I think most of you have received an email sent about North Cape Road, South Cape Road. I just want to touch base a little bit on that. I think that I've lived at that address for over 12 years. I've been wanting that road done for probably about 12 years. Unfortunately, I didn't know about these meetings until about 2 weeks ago. So on one hand, we need to do something where citizens should know about important topics like this rather than I actually found out about mine by trying to contact the county. I stumbled across the minutes for council meeting. That's how I found out there are actually meetings that are happening. So that hopefully we'll work on that, getting important topics to the citizens rather than just finding out if they happen to find out. What I think you're hearing so far from when I was the last meeting, you're hearing from the vocal minority. You've heard a lot from the people that live on South North Cape. I think that of course, they don't want to lose an inch of their property or a tree. And I understand that. However, there's a lot more people that this road affects than just the people that live on the road, people who live in subdivisions off the road. This is the only road that goes north and south besides Forest Home. There is no pedestrian, non-motorized access that's safe on that road, period. And, of course, you wouldn't want to go north on Forest Home because that's not safe either. The idea of the path being used is okay, but the way that curves, it doesn't help anybody north. It doesn't help anybody west of North Cape using that path. We've got a school there. The school and the park, the only way to access the school and park is by car. I think we're the only school that you have to drive to the school, you have to drive to the park. Summer, up during school time, to use the park, to have to hop on the car to drive to the school seems pretty silly, especially also to have a park there that you can't get to the park except drive. I think looking at the future property values and the future of Franklin and the area, rather than just looking at today is what we should look at. The values of the area are going to improve more by having a road that people can safely use when they're not in a car. We don't rebuild freeways on 30-year-old standards. We don't rebuild houses the way they were 30 years ago. We build them for today and what they're going to be used for in the future. If we build them for 30 years ago, where are we going to be 30 years from now? Franklin's not shrinking. Franklin's growing. We're going to have more people here, more traffic, more hopefully non-motorized traffic, and we need a safe way to be able to go up and down North Deer Grove. I understand there is issues with the state and the county and how all that works. I don't quite get all the details of it, so it's complicated, but we need to have a safe way for people to access the road. And I think looking, when we look at the future, people that are there now in North Cape, chances are they won't be there in 10 or 15 years. When new people come to purchase a home, what would be more valuable, having a road that has that access or not? And I think it's pretty clear what the answer would be. I understand it's complicated, but hopefully there's other options.
Okay, thank you. anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Peter Webb at 7558 South 82nd. I'm one of the homes that be affected by this so-called sidewalk. And I've lived there for 30 years. The sidewalk has never been an issue. Anybody walking on the street has never been an issue. The school has been there for 14 years, and anything walking or kids or anything has never been an issue. I mean, I can count the number of kids that even walk to school on my hand every morning because I've been retired for years. So I think the money can be spent better fixing maybe potholes and maybe fixing 83rd Street instead of 300 feet of sidewalk, you know, or what, you know?
Yeah, we had enough potholes this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, so thank you.
That was I'm glad you showed up, because my first question when we got to this issue was, so where are the neighbors and where are the property
right.
owners on this issue?
Yeah, the other household is the Bozeals, but they're both working. So.
Okay. Alderman Mayor?
Mr. Mayor, could I ask when he was notified by the city that his property was going to be used for a sidewalk? I'm addressing it to you, but really the
yeah.
question
well,
was
thank
framed.
You. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I wasn't notified
this is starting
at all.
To work, though. You weren't notified at all.
No. 2 days ago, Leroy actually is the one that said, are you aware that they're planning on putting a sidewalk in by you? And I thought, for what? You know? And I've talked to other neighbors down the street, and he said, what would that be for? What's the point of it? Because you go a block, and then if there's kids or anybody walking, they got to go down Coventry or even Winston Way. And now there's no sidewalk.
Yeah. I have to tell you, when I first looked, I went, well, what about the property owners?
So. Yeah. So I don't know what the issue is or how it even came about.
Well, we'll get into that when we get to the
okay.
to the subject matter, but I'm very happy you showed up tonight.
Anyone
else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes. Jim? Lasik? Okay.
Jim Lasik, 8756 West Mallard Court. I'd like to ask, first of all, I want to address what Leroy had to say. They did clean out the sewer in front of my house. The front end loader came out, cleaned it out. Half hour later, the plow came through and plowed it right back in. But it was done, and he even said to my wife, he said, try and keep that clean. My wife says, okay, but then when the plow comes through, put a big pile over it. So you're fighting a losing battle. I'd like to ask that originally, when the rock was proposed, it was supposed to be hardball diamonds, and in the second year, weren't they going to put in softball diamonds and soccer fields originally? Am I correct?
Well, there's a phase two, yeah. There's
yes,
the
that was the phase
the,
two.
The place where they're showing a potential
right.
Stadium would be in place of that, yes.
Okay. Now, with this new stadium supposedly proposed to the city of Franklin and asking for their blessing on it, I am totally against it, and I will give you a few reasons why. Number one, I already pay on my county taxes for Miller Park because it's been added on to our taxes here in Milwaukee County to pay for Miller Park.
Mm-hmm.
On TV tonight, they said that they will note, if you look confused, it's the extra 5 cents that we have to pay.
It's a sales tax.
Yes, sales tax.
Sales
right.
tax, right.
And tonight on TV, they said that they were thinking of putting in a new Bradley Center. That might fall upon the taxpayers also. Now, for us as a city to go in together with the ROC and use any type of city money, I think would be a huge, huge mistake on our part. That city money can be spent to build things for the people who live in this city, not for a private industry. I don't mind putting in the roads and the sidewalks to accommodate them and stuff like that, but as far as getting in a partnership with them or anything else, I think that's totally out of line.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. Generally, when I look at an issue, I try to find something good about it, if there is, it is something good. And I see something I think would be very good in item number one, G1. It's about the Croatian Park, and I don't know anybody in the Croatian Federation, that, to my knowledge, I don't. But I look at this issue here, and I think that the council should look favorably on this issue and see what you can do to help them out, because I'm sure that they're going to come before you. I don't know that, but the item is here. And so I would suggest that you look favorably on that article item and see if you can go along with them and help them out.
Right.
And I think I would also like to say that today is election day, and we have the mayoral race there. We have the primaries. And if anybody in the room has not voted, I think they ought to get over there and vote.
I was going to say news to me.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah. Leroy Levandusky, 8030 West Winston Way. Can you tell me who makes up this agenda? Are you the one that's responsible for this agenda, or is somebody else doing it for you?
I do go over the agenda with the clerk.
Well, remember, we've been going round and round about Southview and that whole area. I have to act almost like an alderman and a mayor in my territory because nobody's doing anything, including the DPW.
I can tell you that I'll never forget about Southview, or that Southview should go through to alleviate the bus traffic in that area.
But, you know, it's just traffic going down Winston Way is terrible. Right. And one of the issues is the people that make it terrible is the school, the teachers, the parents, and the buses, because they got to go back the other way.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? If not, I'm going to close the citizens' comment period. And I have a couple of announcements. First announcement is, as much as Alderman Ken Skronsky would like to be here tonight, he was recently elected as a state representative for our area, and it sounds, based on my discussions with him, that they're going to be going around the clock, I guess, up in Madison, and they have a very, very large agenda, and if he leaves there, many of our issues that need to be attended to will not. So, I wanted to make sure, in case the bus... Okay, it's all heard. Everyone's heard me say this. In case I get hit by a bus, that I officially got this in the recognition for Ken Skronsky in the form of a proclamation. And then the second item, I'll just, because I'm going to ask the city clerk to read into the record the proclamation. But that our state representative recently got new legislation passed called the Silver Alert. And my understanding, it passed unanimously in both houses of the state legislature, which is what you call really fast-track legislation. So, and I think that's the first legislation passed by a person from Franklin in the last 50 or so years.
So. I was going to say, Your Honor, on item on 2A, mm-hmm. I think it would be more fitting if we just postpone it to the next common council meeting when Kent would be here instead of...
I did ask him about that. And
he didn't want that?
Actually, he didn't want the proclamation at all. But when you read the proclamation, I said we would get it into the record, and I don't know. I guess I must have promised I might buy him another lunch or something too. But with that, I'm going to ask the clerk to please read this into the record. I think that Mr. Skoronski, as well as all of you, and it's your turn, should be recognized for your efforts.
A proclamation in recognition of the public service of Alderman Kenneth P. Skoronski. Whereas Kenneth P. Ken Skoronski has been a Franklinite for a long time, throughout that long time and through the current moment, always being among and about the people. And whereas Ken Skoronski spent his childhood and early years on Milwaukee's south side, moving to Franklin after surveying the terrain some half century ago, with his life's accomplishments and personal investments still ongoing, speaking for themselves, Wisconsin Air National Guard, president of KS Remodelers Incorporated, a Wisconsin corporation engaged in the construction and remodeling industry, City of Franklin Plan Commission member for nearly four decades, board member and life member of Polish Heritage Alliance Polish Center, member of Franklin Lions and past president, member of Franklin Seniors Association, life member Ducks Unlimited Parkland Chapter, life member Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, endowment member National Rifle Association, deputy Grand Knight Knights of Columbus, chief instructor Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Safety Courses, St. Martin of Tours Church Building and Grounds Committee past chairman, member and past president and chairman of the board of the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, board member of the South Suburban Chamber of Commerce, trustee of the Milwaukee Neri Foundation, and on and on. And whereas, in addition to his nearly four decades of service on the City of Franklin Plan Commission, Ken Skoronski now serves and will continue to serve as alderman of the 6th District in the City of Franklin, though his term of office, which commenced on April 19, 2005, and following re-elections in 2008 and 2011, will expire at midnight on the morning of the third Tuesday of April 2014, and also as a member of the Finance Committee, the License Committee, and the Community Development Authority, in addition to his past service on the Economic Development Commission, the Environmental Commission, and as the City of Franklin 50th Anniversary Committee Chairman. And whereas, perhaps most importantly, Ken Skoronski is a family man, working with and involving his children in his and now their public and private endeavors. And whereas, perhaps the reason Alderman Kenneth P. Skoronski chose to not again be a candidate for alderman was that he was elected on December 17, 2013, to the Wisconsin State Legislature as a member of the Wisconsin State Assembly, following former residents of Franklin, before it was a city and thereafter, who were members of the Wisconsin State Legislature. Upon review of the State of Wisconsin Blue Book, to wit, Garrett M. Fitzgerald in 1850, Timothy Haggerty in 1854, James Reardon in 1861, Michael J. Egan in 1960 to 61, and Anton Frey in 1864, and now joining City of Franklin resident citizen and Wisconsin State Assembly member elected November 19, 2013, Jesse Rodriguez, becoming the first Franklin resident citizens so elected in 150 years. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that Thomas M. Taylor, mayor of the City of Franklin, Wisconsin, on behalf of all the citizens of Franklin, hereby recognizes and commends the record of Alderman Kenneth P. Skoronski, established by his faithful public service to the citizens of the City of Franklin, and look forward to his continued service as their state representative, presented to the City of Franklin Common Council this 18th day of February 2014. Thomas M. Taylor.
I would ask that we all recognize Ken's achievements and his devotion to the city by a very nice round of applause. In fact, for the record, Ken, we're very, very, very much wanted to be here and tried to change his schedules, but there's some very important business that needs to be attended up there, and he is up there on our behalf. But I can tell you, if he could be here, he would be here. And I also want to acknowledge and thank the city attorney for once again doing a great job of authoring a wonderful document. Can't thank you enough, Jesse, for all you do. With that, I covered item B. You have a letter from Tim Sadler, President of Milwaukee County Association of Fire Chiefs, of the new rates for advanced life support ALS services. This is not a action item. It's an informational item. I was going to look over at Alderman Mayer and see if you had any additional comments on this.
No, it speaks for itself. I will let you know that Fire Chief Tim Sadler, Greendale, took over as president of the Milwaukee County Association of Fire Chiefs for myself. There's only so much you can do, and you can't do everything right, so I decided to step down from that position. So Chief Sadler sent this, and I think it speaks for itself.
Okay. Mr. Wasilewski?
Amendment to the municipal code will be before the common council at its next meeting to accommodate these proposed changes.
All right. I just want to also acknowledge the good work of Alderman Mayer. Many of you may not know that he also is a fire chief for the city of Cudahy. Dan's the gentleman that put out that big, big fire down there many, many years ago, which was not an easy effort.
Probably I didn't do it myself.
Well, okay. But he was also the chief of the chiefs until recently, and I just want to thank you for your service as well, Dan.
Thank you.
Greatly appreciate it. All right, with that, you have before you the regular meeting minutes of February 4th, 2014.
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
There's a correction in front of us, so if you'd approve it with the correction to item G5.
Okay. Any
motion
objection?
Motion to approve with the amended.
I'll second it with the amendment.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Next item is the Croatian Societies, and if they would come forward. And Mr. Deal, you have a DVD, I think, for us. And you can come up to the front table here. I've been meeting off and on. Maybe I'll let you introduce yourselves.
Sure.
And maybe if you could give your titles, that would be good too.
Right. My name is John Bralvats, and I'm the president of the Federation of Croatian Societies. We're the owners and operators of Croatian Park, located at 9100 South 76th Street here.
And Craig Eide, I'm an architect, foundation architect.
Okay. I've been meeting with John for, must be going on over a year, right? Having breakfast and discussions about some of their plans, and they asked me to keep it as quiet as possible because, you know, it's all this and if that and if this and if that. But in my discussions with him, some of the top representatives from your board of directors, Mike Stovich.
Steve Rich,
who's a former vice chairman or vice president of Catholic Knights Insurance. And then the coach.
Our youth director for the Croatian Eagles Soccer Club, Scott Surprise.
Right. And to my surprise and embarrassment, I guess, is I didn't know that we had such a treasure in our backyard, and that you should all have in your packet a listing of all of their accomplishments, including national championships, state championships. I believe they have three players that have gone to the Milwaukee Wave. They've won just about everything you can possibly win in this area. And they expressed to me that they would like to grow, and they'd like to grow within Franklin. The other reason I was having so many discussions is I put a task force together. Oh boy, must be shortly after I was elected to office 8 or 9 years ago to look at facilities needs and primarily a community center. Now, I believe at that time the city was still able to collect impact fees for community centers, and then I think the law changed and prevented any more collection for that purpose. And I think we are capped at about $1.2 million. Anyhow, we the task force, they looked at the property that's between here and the law enforcement center. They looked at adding on to City Hall, which I think was one of the last recommendations from the task force. And then, my words, the economy kind of came apart globally, and I believe there was some decisions that we should not be taking up this type of an issue at this time because of the total lack of funding. It just didn't seem right that while people were losing their jobs and businesses were closing, the city was looking at trying to build a community center. So the task force was dismissed, and we kind of left it at that for a while. And then I think we had, when Marina Dmitrievich was here, we talked with her briefly about maybe there's something that could be done with the Milwaukee County Sports Complex and the city, and we've had all kinds of discussions. Where I'm going with this is that I think government across the nation is experiencing that the economy has changed and may in fact be a permanent change. Where in the past municipalities could go out and counties could go out and they could go out and build state-of-the-art facilities, and because factories were humming and things like that. But I think what's now in place and what will be in place for the future is public-private partnerships and looking at how counties, cities, nonprofits, how we all work together to bring about a good product. The Croatians right now, I don't know exactly how many fields you have.
We have a full, five full fields.
Okay. But one of the things I hear most often in the city is we don't have enough soccer fields. We don't have enough baseball fields. We don't have enough basketball courts. And that our kids and their fathers and mothers are actually having to travel outside of Franklin to play a game of soccer or whatever. On that note, we also do not have a banquet facility that can seat and house an event like we had it with C-Cub the other day down at the is that the Clarion Hotel we had that at down on Howell Avenue. We don't have a facility here that can seat over 200. And many of you know that the Franklin Seniors group has been meeting in Hales Corners over at Clifford's, again, because we do not have a banquet facility that can seat the number of people that they have. On top of that, some recent numbers that we got from, I think, the Department on Aging, or the Commission on Aging, it was a study where it said that Franklin is one of the fastest growing senior populations in Milwaukee County. I want to say we have something like 7,000 seniors. And just, well, I don't know if we have 10 times the amount of seniors that other communities close to us have or not. But we really don't have a community center or a senior center for them. One of the things I've talked to John and his board of directors about is a potential, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about concept and potential for building a outdoor pavilion, and then looking at, I think it's the U.S. Corps of Army Engineers coming in and maybe building this pavilion that you're looking up there with all of the seating. That way, the we might have with four soccer fields to boot. Might have a facility that only that could be turned into a senior center, and by that I mean where the Milwaukee County, if approached, could come in and staff and maintain a facility like they do in all of the other municipalities, 19 other municipalities within Milwaukee County. Obviously, a lot of lobbying would have to go on, but really, it's kind of our turn to have such a facility. The meal meal program that currently takes place behind us, there's a possibility that that too could be moved to a larger site that would accommodate more people. I think at the max, there's probably about 100. There's seating for 100 in the room behind us. I'm looking at Casper to see if that's correct or not. But with a senior population of 7,000, one can only imagine that if you had a larger facility, it would be full all of the time. Again, other municipalities, City of Milwaukee, they have facilities like Washington Park. There's the Lake Park where they have a senior facility. It's small, but they have it. There's McGovern Senior Center. I don't know, like
Washington
Wilson, Park.
Wilson Park.
Wilson Sports Complex. Yes, and they have not only
Clinton Rose.
Not only seating for banquets and for dining, but they have arts and craft, and they have a pool room, and they have all of those things. And that's Milwaukee County. So, again, we're talking in concept about something that's potentially achievable. It would take a lot of lobbying. we do have a county supervisor that is sitting on the Department on Aging. So if, in fact, something like this took place, I'm officially lobbying you right now.
We also have
a senior, Mr. Casper Green, who also sits on the Commission on Aging, and I believe it's going to be followed by Fred Knippel, who is now the current president of the Franklin Seniors. Anyhow, the way I'm looking at this thing is if in fact all of the forces come together, we will no longer have to go out of the city of Franklin to host these large events. The seniors, instead of having to be cramped into a smaller facility behind us, the meal site, I think Stephanie Susine would have no problem if we designate a place, she'll move the meal site to that place. And we can finally get what this community has wanted since I first became an alderman about 15 years ago. So, and I also want to say that there is another proposal, and I just talked to a gentleman named Jim O'Malley, who wholeheartedly supports this proposal. And there may be another proposal coming in for another facility, but I wanted to first bring this in and share it with you. And we're not looking for any kind of a vote tonight. It's just to bring you up to speed on first who the Croatian Eagles are, what they've done, and if we have a perfect storm, what is achievable. So with that, John, you've got it.
Thanks, Mayor Taylor. I appreciate the kind words, and you summed it up pretty well, our discussions beforehand. Again, I've been president of the Federation of Croatian Societies now for 4 years, and before then I was vice president. And the Federation of Croatian Societies is an umbrella organization for all the Croatian groups in Milwaukee County. And we've been owners and operators of Croatian parks since 1956. And we've been, you know, part of the community, but one of the tasks that I took upon myself since I became president and I put together an advisory board is to how can we better integrate ourselves within a Franklin community, become a better neighbor within the community. Looking at just our soccer club in general, I mean, we have over 525 youth players, including our adult teams, put us over 800 players. Less than 10%, probably closer to 5%, are Croatians. The other individuals are just individuals who live, you know, within the Franklin community or surrounding suburbs. And And realizing that, you know, even our rentals throughout the year at Creation Park, we're just more of a seasonal from spring to fall. We don't have a structure that can accommodate anything during the winter. And, you know, most of our rentals are local businesses who rent it for the company Picnic, Franklin Little League, Special Olympics, you know, individuals outside the Creation community. So I think it's really important that, you know, we reach out and just make ourselves so more well-known and just let everyone know that we're open to forming partnerships and then finding out any projects that we look to do. We're not only considering the Creation community's needs, but we also want to help the needs of the Franklin community that are neighbors. Some facts that might surprise you about the soccer club. I mean, we have over 400 games hosted on our fields. You know, we're a small ethnic club. We're probably considered one of the top 2 to 3 clubs in the state. We're one of the few clubs that have teams ranging all the way from the youth level, meaning micros from under 7 years old, all the way to a full men's and women's adult teams that participate in the highest levels available within a state. Our men's team were 2012 U.S. Open Cup National Champions. That's the highest level championship for an amateur club to reach. Our U23 adult men's team lost in the national championship, and we're competing against corporate clubs that have major sponsorships, and we really have no funding other than our community and the support of the parents. We participate in a developmental league in Wisconsin. There's only 12 clubs in Wisconsin who participate in this high-level league, and that opens our players to be recruited by professional teams such as the MLS, the highest league in the United States. We have our U13 age group to the U18 age group. They participate in the Midwest Regional League, meaning none of their games are even played in Wisconsin. Most of their games are played around within the Midwest, and we don't have our facilities. We can't host this league because we don't have turf fields. We don't have the proper irrigation, watering systems for our field. So, you know, part of our concept review is to make improvements to our existing infrastructure, to the soccer fields we have in place, and we're open to partnerships on expansion of our footprint if allowed to. Our annual spring tournament that we host each year has over 100 teams, close to 1,600 players coming in their families, so that impacts all the local hotels, the businesses and such. We have over 400 home games at our fields. Almost 32,000 people come to Creation Park, come and go for games that supporting the local businesses around there. 60 to 70% of our seniors, senior and high school age players who play in our club because of the high level of competition, will play on in college, and a lot of them do receive some type of scholarship. Pius High School, Thomas More High School use Creation Park as their home fields, so that attracts not only their people to the community, but also visiting teams who play against those schools at our field. And just, you know, we also host a college ID camp in the end of July. 40 college coaches from around the country, because the success of our club, come to Creation Park, and we have a recruiting type camp for college eligible players, so they can be identified for a scholarship. So those are just some of the highlights of the club itself. The Federation, our big annual really money makers, we have a Creation Festival. It's always the third weekend in July. I want to welcome and invite you all to come to our festival. It's open to the public. It's a true ethnic festival where you get to experience the Creation culture and food there. And, you know, unfortunately, that is our one fundraising event. Usually that event helps us cover our property taxes for the year. So, you know, if there's ever inclement weather, we want to have more covered and protected area just in case of that. So right now we have limited covered space, and what we're looking to do is improve the coverage area within the park. We would like to start out, and again, we're kind of limited on funds. We actually have worked with the Army Corps of Engineers in the past. They did help us build some additional soccer fields when we needed it on our land, and they said that they're open to working with us in the future. And Mike Steverich, who's not here tonight, he's the one who worked with them in the past, and he's kind of re-engaged in conversations with them to help us. And one of the things they had promised to do is if we're ever to build any type of structure, that they'd be open to, you know, using that as training for their forces and in terms of construction, it would help us build a facility. So, again, we're a small ethnic community, and we're limited on funds, so any project that we want to take on will be limited to our ability to fundraise as well as form partnerships. And what you see in front of you is a conceptual review of something that could be built in stages. And what I'll do is I'll let Craig Idy just kind of talk a little bit more about that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. The images that are on the screen are, it's a...
Can you hear him back there? Okay, thank you.
This is a composite image with all of the images that are part of the presentation and are the rest of their individuals here.
Not all of them.
Here's the site. This is at 9100 South 76th Street. The area with the box around it, that's their property. There's county lands to the right and above, and then there's Little League fields just off the screen above this area on 76th. And the dark box in the center here, that is where we're proposing that the pavilion would go. So there's fields here, 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 and here. And this area is an oak savanna, and it's an area that is used for the picnics and fests during the year. And we're envisioning this area would start out as what we call a pavilion. So it would be a park structure. We have a roof over it with columns, and it would be able to have a picnic there, get out of the rain, have events there, but it would still be unenclosed, unheated. And as the funding became available, then we would close that in, add on support spaces such as kitchens and bathrooms as a part of that structure to serve this area, as well as to serve the community that could come in and use the facility during the week. The soccer fields could then be managed by the Eagles, and people could schedule these from this location.
Can I, while you're walking over there, I've become probably too closely acquainted with that area. That's where you're showing the soccer fields. That's actually under the lease with the Hunger Task Force, correct?
Right. The additional fields on top that are kind of highlighted in green there is part of the county land and working with that county force. So we just showed an example, if we're allowed to expand our footprint or form some type of partnership, what we could do and help manage that. Right. But we're kind of concentrating within the park area.
And
now,
I just wanted to point out to everyone so that they... I put John in touch with Matt King from the Hunger Task Force to have a discussion, because I had gone over that lease. I think it's a 10-year lease, followed up with another 10-year lease for the facility. But I informed him that the Hunger Task Force also has some very, very large plans for that area. And I told him that it's one of my great desires, and I probably Alderman Wilhelm would share with this, is to connect a bike path that's over on the Hunger Task Force property by the barn to the Oakleaf Bike Trail. I did bring this up with the superintendent of the House of Correction. Run that bike trail across the property. It would connect to the Croatian fields, and then it would go down to where the Little League fields are. So in one big swoop, we would be connecting all of these groups together instead of kids having to getting cars and things like that. They could take their bikes and parents and, you know, something that we've really been striving for as a community. So.
Yes, thank you. And so part of this is just, you know, we'd like to be able to throw out the concept to see, you know, right now we're designated as a park. I don't know what type of zoning approval would be needed if we were in a build type of pavilion or center here at the park. We're open to any type of funding support. We also, you know, even now in our current state, we do have a pretty nice picnic area in the park, and we're open to working with the senior group, you know, even on a limited basis, at least for now. You know, we can work with catering at the park and at least maybe offer some type of picnics or type of during the summer months now, just to put that out there. But in the long term, maybe form some type of relationship where, you know, this could be an activity or event center for that group, as well as, you know, any businesses in the area and such. But this facility would also allow us to kind of host larger, more professional type soccer tournaments and really help Franklin become known as a destination within the Midwest for sports. With the success and all the projects going on with the Rock, a lot of that seems to be concentrated around baseball. But we're a fact that I forgot to share is we're actually the oldest active soccer club in North America.
Oh, really?
So we've been around for over 90 years. We're there were clubs established before us. But we're the oldest active soccer club in North America. So with our sustained success, you know, Franklin could really be known as a sports mecca destination here in the Midwest with this project.
Just for the benefit of the aldermen, I and the staff here recently had a meeting with Mike Zimmerman's group regarding just discussions about the potential stadium. And I was very candid with Mr. Zimmerman, and I told him all about this proposal and that just so that, you know, if the stadium, or their stadium project, was interested in something like this, that he would know about it. In my words, I think he said, no, go ahead. It sounds like a great project. So it wouldn't be taking anything away from the potential stadium project. And because I know that some people have thrown things out about, well, maybe you have a community center in there or whatever. And very frank, I'm meeting with the county executive tomorrow to talk about this with Mr. Zimmerman. The county executive is only on board in concept. He has never agreed to this, nor has the Parks Department, nor has the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, the stadium project, and nor has there been any commitment to any public financing whatsoever. So the last point on this is that with the stadium project for the high school, with this proposal, with the stadium project over at the Rock, if that pulls off, even without it, the baseball fields and the complex they have right now, you know, we could very easily say that we are the mecca for sports for this entire area. And people are talking about economic development all the time. You would have visitors coming in constantly. Yeah, I just read, I guess I'm reading more and more about stadiums than I ever wanted to. But one of the cities had 342,000 visitors to their stadium. I'm guessing if you turn this into a regional complex, I thought I read something like 32,000 players might
visit.
Well,
that's actually right now what we have going through the park. Yeah, so that would be a lot more.
So maybe in the hundreds of thousands, that the football stadium, that the sports facility they're building at the high school, that I think once it's built is going to be packed all the time, and it's going to be rented out by other municipalities. So Franklin has this great opportunity to capitalize on all of these public-private partnerships. Of course, just like the stadium, there's a whole lot of work and effort and thought and decisions that need to be made regarding all of these. and I know I speak for all of you, none of us are interested in expending any taxpayers' money foolishly or needlessly. All of us are fiscal conservatives, and, you know, be frank, if we didn't have to pay a penny on any of this stuff, so much the better. But again, you know, I just want to say that it just seems to me that the days of counties going out and building their own thing, and the cities building their own thing, and the school districts building their own things, I think it's over with. And I think we really need to explore these public-private partnerships. I think that's the way to go if you're going to get things done. So, Alderman Dandridge?
I mean, John and Craig, I appreciate you guys coming to the committee today. I am the alderman of the 1st District, right. So I know Tom has probably been trying to coordinate that we get together.
Yes.
And greatly appreciate the revival and the newness that you want to put into this corridor of the city. As Tom was alluding to, yes, financially, the funds coming from the city is going to be a tough venue. But whatever we can do to brainstorm and work with you, as well as to encourage fundraising programs and community support, we would be more than happy to help you out.
Thank you.
So, our phone numbers are available, on the website. You can get a hold of me, and I would look forward to brainstorming with you to see what kind of financing options you may have available as well out there.
John, I don't know if you know it, but the alderman is the vice president, has been a vice president of banks.
Okay.
So he's the right guy to talk to.
All right. Perfect.
Thank you. Well, good luck, you guys.
Thanks, Mark.
I like you're a taxpaying entity, sort of the creative type things that Mark was talking about. I'm not sure about that, but you're a taxpayer in the city. This is your money that you're spending, so I support it. And soccer is a great sport. It's a growing sport. It's been a growing sport. It's going to continue to grow. It's one of the few sports that's a lifelong sport, so a lifelong activity, so it's a great thing. My only question to you is, and this doesn't have anything to do with my support of the project, some people like to play soccer that don't have the abilities to be the championship teams that you guys talk about. What other levels do you have for less talented soccer players?
Well, I mean, we if we had more field space, we could accommodate more levels of soccer. Usually, actually, most of the youth teams do have multiple level teams. They'll have like an A team, a B team, and a C level. But with our limited space and just access to fields, we try to accommodate our core product, which is the high level. And we're kind of regulated now with the Development Academy. It gives us flexibility on the type of teams that we can offer, but we need to maintain a high level at each age group in order to participate in this league.
But at least for younger kids, you do at least let everybody get a chance
yes,
to play.
Yes, yeah. Actually, I believe it's until the age of 12 that's pretty general open play at all levels, especially your U7 or micros is kind of, that's our bread and butter. We have a lot of probably one of the larger groups of younger kids playing here in the state. And it's nice that we kind of have we're kind of unique to the southern portion of the metro part of Milwaukee. Most of the other regional top clubs are all in the North Shore, far north or far west suburbs. So that allows us to kind of draw from the communities and even minorities in the area. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm, Alderman Taylor, Alderman Schmidt.
Well, I really like the plan. I like the design. I think it's a very modern-looking building, and he puts a lot of thought into it. One thing that I would like to see would a little bit be a more, what's the term, like a sensitive, site-sensitive design. I know you stood up and said that you have a oak savanna, which is the rarest habitat that we have. And effect with the emerald ash borer coming in and taking out all of the city's trees
I would hope some thought would be left to work around some of those. And, you know, a lot of comments are always made about, let's be more like Oak Creek, look how much development they have. But they don't neglect their resources and the review, and they have a forester person on staff, which we do as well. And I think our crew would be more than happy to tell you, you know, unhealthy ones. You take advantage of that rather than having to pay someone to, right, to do it if they're willing to go out there and work with you on it. But it looks to me, I did look at the map, that you already have some facilities kind of nestled in there, and you kind of want to be in that under the canopy oak area for picnics, and I think that's a wonderful setting. Just try to work that into the site the best you can, because it's certainly a wonderful amenity. I mean, it adds to your building rather than distracting from it by doing what you can for that area. And, you know, you mentioned about helping the needs of the Franklin community. We're certainly going to need all the canopy we can have after we get wiped out with the Emerald Ash Borer. So, as far as the cost, and I don't know what you've talked with the mayor about that, about funding, but it seems like every time a project comes up, the impact fees are brought up. And
I can address that. Yeah. I told John, and as I've told all of them, that it seems that the use of impact fees is a very, very, very difficult thing to do, and that there's a ton of state law regarding it, and that everyone wants it. I mean, we tried to explore using impact fees and working with the school district, and there's just provisions that unless we own the land, we can't use the impact fees. But nonetheless,
and that's where I was going with it. I was going to say the impact fees requires to use own the land, and you've owned the land for so long. I'm sure you don't want to turn it over to the city of Franklin.
No.
So there might be other options to work with. But like the project, and certainly I hope you'll consider some type of community and banquet events to a large extent, because every time I turn to have a function or something, there's the library, and that's not much else around the community. So. You'll make money on that one.
And that's part of it. I mean, that's what we're looking to call it the Creation Park Community Center, just to make it known that it's a community events place.
Even, mid-sized meeting rooms are really, we have nothing to have smaller functions in. So
I'm going to ask a question, and that would be if you like this, and it sounds like you do, if you wouldn't mind maybe helping John and his board of directors with discussions with the Hunger Task Force and trying to connect the bike paths that are over there.
Well, certainly the Complete Streets Committee could look at that. My other question was, have you had any discussions with the county on the land next to you at all?
No, not yet. I'm actually trying to get that ball a little bit rolling. But again, this is all conceptual review, so
not a problem.
I can help you.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right. Thank you very much.
County Supervisor.
First off, I like what I see. I totally agree with what the mayor's talking about regarding counties can't do things by themselves, cities can't do things by themselves, that, Sue Black is a perfect example over a decade as Parks Director of private-public partnerships. That's what we have to do if we want any of these types of amenities anymore in our communities. I think you have to have those types of relationships. You have to have, and when the city or the county can help, that will go just like, on the drawing board and up the flagpole, and you got to get bodies like this to support it. So I definitely think that's the wave of the future. I have to agree with Alderman Wilhelm regarding the site. I've never been known as a tree hugger, but I really like oak trees and that. And I've been to Croatian Fest a couple times and ate some, I don't even know what I ate, but little sausages and some other stuff. And that was a lot of fun, and had a beer or two. I like what I see, and I think it's definitely worth continuing to discuss. And I can definitely I'll give you my card, and you can call my office, and we can make sure we set something up with the Parks Department and get that ball rolling, like you said.
Okay, perfect. Thank
All right.
you.
Yep.
And consider that a formal request to lobby you.
Yeah, and a formal request to lobby. It's been granted.
Alderman Schmidt.
Well, I've had the opportunity to watch the evolution of the Croatian Park. I remember my school bus driving down 76th Street back in the 50s, and it kind of had a kind of a rustic look to it, not really well developed. And certainly, the organization has taken great pride in developing this over the decades. And this certainly looks like the next step forward into taking it into the 21st century. That would be a win-win for everyone involved. Is there any? Do you have any potential timetable on when you'd reach the phase of building a community center?
Or is this again, it's going to just depend on our ability to fundraise. But you know, we'd like to do as much as we can. This, you know, sooner the better. Really, now initially, we really want to start looking at building that larger, just more covered area, opened pavilion type. Something that's going sooner than later. It just allows us, you know, we rent the park. We have, you know, again, corporate picnics, you know, weddings, graduation parties, small events like that. But we don't have a lot of covered area to offer our guests, so it's just something to offer that. But I understand, you know, we'll definitely take the trees into place.
But this community center, about how many for that hole, do you think?
Yeah, it's between 350 to 500.
And you anticipate, do you have enough funding right now to start your first phases with your outdoor things this year?
We do.
John, a question. I've been to your festivals, I think, for the last 8 years or so, and I mean, the pastries out there to die for, and the food, the chicken is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
Chicken too, yeah.
In fact, I'd like to go there right now.
That'd be July. That'd be great. It'd be nice.
When I was there, I met a lot of people. In fact, I think I met the ambassador or the liaison to Croatia, and I met a lot of people that were from the Illinois area and surrounding areas. What's the population or the general population of, you know, within 100 miles of?
I mean, in Wisconsin, there's about 10,000 Croatians, and in the Chicago area, it's closer to 50 to 100,000 in that range. So there's quite a bit. One of the things in Chicago, they do have a community center, but they have no park-like area. So a lot of them actually come here, and their groups will even rent the Croatian Park for some of their own parties and events. We kind of... The park area that's kind of enclosed by gates is more or less rented by the Federation of Croatian Societies. The soccer fields are constantly used by the Croatian Eagles Soccer Club and managed by that organization. You know, part of it is we're trying to work better in concert with each other to make sure that, you know, whatever event we have, again, we have limited parking area. There's... you know, make sure that we control traffic flow. We look at the safety of the, you know, especially if it's a youth tournament, the safety of the children there, making sure that we don't have a lot of cars going in and out.
I guess the reason I'm asking the question is because of fundraising efforts. There's actually already a very large support organization.
Yes.
And then the gentleman that you introduced me to the last time who wrote a letter to Congressman Paul Ryan asking mm-hmm. for federal assistance on this.
Yes.
Like he had a business card that said Coors Miller.
Yeah, he's a state affairs director.
You know, because I think when people think about fundraising, they're thinking about having a, you know, some fundraiser at a sheepshed thing and raising $1,500. You could have all kinds of people with lots of money and businesses come forward with this.
Exactly. I mean, the advisory board is a lot of people of Croatian descent. A lot of them are more successful, smarter, better looking than me, but they're intelligent people. There, so.
Oh, I doubt that. Alderman Mayor?
I just want to point out that however this turns out, however we can work cooperatively together, I just want to point out that Croatian Park has a long history of working cooperatively with the city. Back in the 1970s, the 4th of July celebration was held at Croatian Park.
Hometown boy stuff.
Parade is down 76th Street.
All right. Any other questions? The reason we have concept reviews is for the applicant to try and gain some kind of knowledge as to whether the council would be looking favorably at the proposal or not, so that you're not going out and spending thousands and thousands of dollars on permitting and getting consultants to come in and engineering designs and all that. So I think you definitely have a thumbs up, but it's if you can do this, and this. Okay. And again, Alderman Schmidt knows this, that there are other proposals that are in the works. In fact, may have even surprising it didn't come in tonight. And I guess it's sort of common knowledge that the Century Store, that we've had some discussions about a potential community center, making that into a community center, and that there's been discussions with the seniors about whether that's feasible or not feasible. I guess I'm a person that doesn't believe put all the eggs in one basket, and let's have a whole bunch of potential plans, and then maybe we'll be able to pull one off. And I also wouldn't rule out the Milwaukee County Sports Complex and its feasibility for looking at a senior facility there as well. So,
well, just again, we're open to working with any type of partnerships. If we can help any other projects and by forming a partnership, we're open to that idea as well. So,
okay. Well, thank you very much, and thank you for bringing this great project to Franklin.
All right, thank you, everyone. And just by the way, my contact information, we have a website, www.MilwaukeeCroatians, that's plural, .org. Our board of directors, our contact information is on there, so you can get my phone number and email address on there.
And I would highly recommend that you take County Supervisor Taylor up on his offer, and that Alderman Wilhelm and her knowledge of the bike paths and the trees, and especially your alderman, he can become your biggest champion. And with his financial background, if there's anybody that can come up with a scheme, it's probably Mark. So
perfect.
All
right.
Thank you. All right, next item is a resolution in support of the Partners in Preservation Grant funded by the Great Lakes Initiative for Control of Japanese Knotweed. Is there a second? Hold it, I'm losing everybody here. I just lost my quorum,
Mark.
So just for 1 second. We're going to have to take a pause because I lost two aldermen. There's a whole country trying to get rid of all elected officials.
And
for us, it's nothing. It's just, there they go. All right. For the record,
I'm back. That's awesome.
Alderman Mayer stepped out. Oh, he's back. And Alderman Dandrea stepped out for a second. We now have a quorum, and we will turn to the regular order of business. There is a motion that's been made. Is there a second for item two? It's been moved and seconded on item two. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item three, request from the Environmental Commission for comments on the termination of reduced stormwater runoff on private property through the city, promotion of rain gardens. I'll just give you mine. I'm all wholeheartedly in support of this. I think that the most valuable commodity that we have as a community is our water, and that we should do everything we possibly can to try and preserve it whenever we can. So, Alderman Wilhelm?
I did send, Dan, Alderman Mayer here, the information and Jerry and the engineering department. There is some funding for green infrastructure partnerships available, which leads right into this type of project. And it would also apply to the next project that's coming up for funding. But they'll, for example, give you $75 for every unit tree that we put in. There's a funding chart in this, and I did send this to the staff members that it would most apply to, including the staff member for the Environmental Commission. There's a deadline on this. One of the projects that would work really well as one of the park projects that's coming up.
I know you sent me the one on the bike paths, connecting things.
Oh, yeah. Well, this one is specific to the item G3.
Okay. Alderman Mayer, and anyone else on their hand?
We do have the author of the letter that brought this forward. If we would like to, if it's possible, let him speak a couple more words.
Sure. Is there a motion to suspend the regular order of business?
So move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Sir, if you, I think we all know you, but if you could state your name and address for the record.
Kurt Bolton, 8035 West Imperial Drive. When I'm looking for city involvement in this, I guess I'm looking at, you know, something like a website or something like that that would work out with the city. I think it's important that we keep track of how we're doing on things, set goals. So I thought maybe like setting a goal of maybe 100 rain gardens for 2014 or 2015 would be a good way to go about that. MMSD does have a map site where they do map all these things, and so I think that would be a good way to keep track of how we're making progress on these things. And
if I can, Joel Deedle, and I believe Mr. Bennett, we had some discussions with some consultants some time ago, and we met with the entire staff of MMSD to explore all kinds of ways to try and reduce water output and water preservation methods. And I just wanted to let you know that there's just a ton of websites that are available. And I think Joel, if he looks in his file, will give you every contact that you ever wanted.
I don't know that I'm looking so much for contacts on these types of issues. I think I've got a fair grasp, but I definitely will check with Joe. I think what I'm looking for is just a little bit more involvement from the city in trying to promote these kinds of things. And like I said, I think government is people working together for a better community, and I think this is an excellent project that for the city to promote and say we can make, you know, a place a better community. We can improve the water that we take our drinking water from, because unlike most communities, all the water from our communities goes back to our drinking water source. It's not like we can flush it down the Mississippi River or somewhere else, and then it becomes somebody else's problem. So I'm looking for input as far as any other ideas that maybe the Common Council might have, but specifically, I'm hoping that the Common Council might find it reasonable to get more involved, you know, publicly in this kind of issue. So,
okay. Just one other note, and that's that as the chair of the ICC, the mayors and village presidents, that group passed a resolution basically says to do whatever we possibly can to preserve water and to take every measure possible to comply with the Great Lakes Compact. That's a matter of record. And Mr. Musin, I believe the chairman of the Water Council, came down and spoke to all the mayors and village presidents, and we got on board with that as well. So I'm just telling you that there's big support. Just like you said, you got to get it going. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I think that he's asking for possibly a website, and I was looking at who can apply for this funding, and it says private property owners. So to let our citizens know that there's funding available if they want to do some of these different maximum reimbursement items, we could, I think it would be too late for a newsletter because of the grant deadline, but if we could put it up on at least on our can we dedicate a page when you link to the Environmental Commission, that there's a page that can say, sure, says funding projects for private homeowners or...
Sure.
I mean, that's a start. That's mm-hmm. more than we've ever done. So.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a motion to return the regular order of business?
So move. Second.
It's been moved and seconded for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Okay. Item three, I'm sorry.
I think we should probably make a motion to make that happen. We're going to try to meet the deadline. Go ahead.
Make the motion that we put the information for the grant. You're more familiar with it than I am, so put the grant information for the grant on the website available for the citizens. The Green Infrastructure Partnership Program information onto the website so that it's available for the citizens.
I'll second that.
Right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Alderman discussion?
More discussion, but probably another motion after this.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Mayor.
And I guess it probably would have been a discussion item. Can we somehow give the Environmental Commission some direction to move forward with this idea? Maybe I should put it in the form of a motion if that would be appropriate. I would move that we advise the Environmental Commission to move forward with other thoughts and bring more ideas back to us on some concrete, verifiable program that we can move forward with.
Great. Second. Second. Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Almost called you Alderman.
Just for the record, I'll point out that the motion to put on the website, I'll take that as liberty also to put it on our television channel.
And radio. The radio network.
We do have a radio network we found out was approved this week. But,
nice.
We don't have the hardware up yet. So.
Chat next to Fireside Chats.
DJ?
Fireside Chats.
All right. Item four, it's a recommendation of the Parks Commission regarding conceptual site plan for Pleasant View Neighborhood Park is presented a request to engage a consultant for necessary site engineering.
Build it and they will come.
Okay, yeah. Wilhelm, Mr. Bennett.
Well, I've been struggling all day with this item, Mayor.
For the record, the clerk has to leave to take care of, I guess there's an election going on. So.
Is there? When does it end?
So, what we have here is the park plan that's up there. The parking lot has been shifted. It was facing the homes on Victory Creek, so I feel that's a nice step. But we still haven't resolved from this body. The funding has been allocated in the budget for the road, and there is money that's been allocated in the budget for the parking lot. But I think this council needs to decide, and one of the things that was supposed to be determined at this neighborhood park meeting is brought back for this council to decide, are we going to move forward with the road, the parking lot, the road and the parking lot? And then it got turned into this site plan because the Park Commission wanted to see their park plan brought forward, which I try to be supportive of that concept, but I also, as the person representing the people over here, need to kind of look at the overall area and the layout. So as you can see from that plan, I don't know, can you put it up a little higher? So Evergreen Court is...
Perfect. We've been waiting for that for years.
Oh, my gosh.
Put it on the camera.
No, the clerk just left.
I was just going to say that.
Well, Evergreen Court is the road that's on the left going in. It's the extension of that cul-de-sac going into the park. And then, of course, the parking lot was added onto that. So the people on Evergreen have said that they are concerned about traffic, but they're not so overly concerned that I don't think we could move forward or that it would block moving forward, I guess. But they are concerned that if the road goes in and no parking lot goes in, that parking would be in front of their homes. And there are also comments in there that say if you're going to put a parking lot, you should at least give us one use so there's something to do with the park. I personally would like to see us to move forward with the road and the parking lot at the same time. Mr. Bennett, I think, can put that together and address that. But as far as the uses in the park plan, for only one road and one way in and out, it might be more appropriate to phase the development, which might allow for another north-south road to come in and connect to the site somehow, and that way Evergreen won't bear all the brunt of the traffic forever and ever on an overly developed park that the road can't handle. So I am prepared to make a motion. Mr. Bennett might want to say a few things. Just again, I'll say that the money has been budgeted. There are matching impact fees up to 44 and 50% for both of those two items.
Is the Parks Chairman here? Parks Commission Chairman? You staff the Parks Commission?
Yes.
You want to give us the recommendation for the Parks Commission?
At their previous meetings, they have made motions supporting the extension of Evergreen and the parking lot at the same time. They had not made any specific motions about the development of the park. Oren believes that they were under the impression that it wasn't ripe for action yet. He suspects they would be supportive of development of the park, but there was no specific motion made about that, probably or potentially because they didn't think it was ripe for action yet. So, for instance, there is a park plan that recommends development of the park, but the Parks Commission has a practice of making specific recommendations to forward to the council about specific items, like the extension of Evergreen in the parking lot. They have not yet done that about development of the park.
Well, what is it? What is the recommendation for the Parks Commission?
To proceed with the extension of the road and the parking lot together at the same time.
And grade it so it's ready for any future use was part of that, the grading
discussion
on the site.
Yes.
I guess I'm the original request and the original motion that Ms. Wilhelm put together was to evaluate the extension of Evergreen and the parking lot. And now all of a sudden I've got a whole plan for the whole park. Okay, so you guys went way overboard, but I see what you want to put into this area now, but your comments came back now for what I was looking at is it was the extension of the road and the parking lot. That's what the committee has approved to move forward, correct?
That's what their motion is, yes.
Okay.
Period.
Okay. Period.
Right?
No discussion and staff's guessing would lead to they might be interested in more.
Guessing?
I mean, we're talking about money here.
Yes.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, there was quite a bit of discussion at the Park Commission meeting, and I was trying to look at the overall picture, and they said, well, their idea was only the park plan. And I said, well, as the district dollar person, I have to take connections into consideration and funding into consideration. The item that came forward from the committee is to adopt the conceptual plan. I don't know what that means. If we adopt the conceptual plan, are we stuck to it? To me, there's just way too many uses in there. There's everything you can possibly imagine. There's a playground, right behind the school. There's a picnic area. There's basketball courts. There's soccer fields. There's baseball diamonds. There's pavilions, and you've got one way in and one way out. So I would rather see this being the first phase being the road and the parking lot and the grading so it could be used as a site. A park amenity, people could go there, they could fly a kite, they could, do things of play on the fields. But I agree that I don't think it's ready, especially given the limited access. So my motion wasn't going to be to adopt the plan. My motion is actually to work on the road and the parking lot, which is part of the plan. I think you don't want to put the cart before the horse, and it seems like we keep moving it in that direction, and I keep trying to bring it back to parking lot and road. Let's address that first. So my motion is extremely long because I wanted to make it as detailed as possible so I don't have to keep...
And Mr. LeBert is taking the minutes.
Can you give him a copy of it so he has it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll be lucky if I can read my own writing.
Do we need to take a break before you... Or no?
Might need to take one after,
oh,
or halfway in between.
Uh-huh.
A motion to direct the engineering department to review and prepare a separate itemized cost estimate and timeline for phase development and construction on each of the improvements as depicted upon the Pleasant View Neighborhood Park conceptual site plan, and to include any other necessary public improvements required for determining the development and construction of the depicted plan, including the park access, extension of Evergreen Street and parking lot, stormwater basin, site grading needs, taking into consideration already allocated capital improvement funds and impact fees within the 2014 budget, and returning to the council upon completion of delineations needed to prepare the cost estimates, allowing engagement of a consultant on an as-needed basis.
All right, is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, under discussion, Alderman Taylor.
Well, how do they come up with the items there? I mean, I was at the neighborhood the meeting at Clare Meadows, and, you know, I read the comments, and the comments are more negative than positive. I think we all can see that. But that anytime you put someone in someone's backyard, you're going to have that. But how do I know what if a soccer field is necessary, a ball diamond is necessary? Is that a softball diamond? Because God knows we hear that all the time. A playground, basketball court. How do we know what matters? Then you have the issue of access, only in, you know, one in and out, not another access point. And you know, I think of, you know, what that area looks like now, and then we put a path, and there's a school right up there where there's a playground and things like that. I think of the county grounds where you have the butterfly gardens, where there's paths going, you know, behind the in one portion of it, you know, by the parks building and that. You know, how natural can this be left? I mean, it just seems like you crammed. There's a whole lot of stuff crammed mm-hmm. in here, mm-hmm. and I don't. What and how do I know that that's what the people around it want? I mean, the people that are going to use it are, I think, the ones that live around it. And you have Clare Meadows directly to the west, and I don't see a lot of them playing softball. I mean, you know, so I'm trying to figure out if this makes any sense. And then just to build a road with a parking lot to sit for how long? So at first it was starting to make sense when we said, well, yeah, let's not just stop at a cul-de-sac, let's put in a parking lot. I thought that made a lot of sense. And now, I don't even know what if this even works. Now, granted, like I said, I'm not looking at the negative comments and saying, well, let's not do anything because we do nothing in this city if you listen to that. But, I mean, that's kind of where I'm coming from. So that's just my 2 cents. I don't know if I support that motion or not.
Alderman Schmidt, did you have your hand up?
No.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, that's why my motion says for staff to go out and put all of these costs together in phases and have us look at what does it cost for the road, what does it cost for the parking lot, what does it cost for both, phase one. What does it cost to grade it? Is that part of phase one? Let the council determine how many steps we want to take forward, and then the cost and the different uses. I guess I'd like to know what type of use as far as how many people, the population per each one of those sites, because if you have, you know, something that supports 200 people, is a road and parking lot going to support 200 people? I am not ready to move forward with the development of the park to that extent in any way, and I don't think we should be expending the money. The issue comes in that this park was a promised park since 1998. It was purchased because another neighborhood park, their ball field was taken away from them due to insurance and liability issues because the ball was running into the road. And yeah, so it was supposed to take that place. But the land use has changed dramatically since this 1998 purchase of this property. And it doesn't have the access in and out. If you look in all the master plans, there were roads all over, there were houses all over. And I think the site plan is not ready to be approved. And I just want to look at the costs and see if we even want to do this. And we have plenty of time. If Mr. Bennett comes back with costs and breaks this all down into timelines and can lay this out for us, then we will know by the time the snow comes off the ground, because he has to have snow melt to go out and do a delineation to even put in a parking lot. He'll have plenty of time to address these issues, and we can take it piece by piece and vote on each one of those. And that's why I've spelled it out so specifically in my motion to cover it all.
Alderman Dandridge.
And when the proposed project comes back to us with the cost breakdown and the timeline, I'd like to have a bigger picture of the surrounding pathways that are going to connect to all this. Okay. Let's see what the community wants out here. Let's see what the picture is going to look like. Right now, I can't tell what it looks like, but I know that I don't even know what direction, but to the bottom of it, we've already got the path from the school, right? That's in that, and that's all wetlands, that whole path is going through. I'm concerned that part of this is wetlands as well. I'm concerned, like Mr. Taylor is, in regards to, okay, we're going to put these things in an area that may be underwater for a period of time.
I got to tell you, I really have not been, and I think I said this to Alderman Wilhelm, I really haven't been approached by anyone advocating for any of this. I have the neighbors. We met with a couple of them, and they're very, very concerned about the traffic and people parking in front of their homes and using the ball diamond. And having gone through Workman Park when I was an alderman, boy, I mean, you put a basketball court up behind someone's home, and or a baseball diamond or a backstop where that's going to block their view of what they used to be a park. And I guarantee you this room will be filled and packed with angry folks. I guess I'd go back to a couple things when we were doing the budget, which I don't know if you remember, but I actually agreed with all of you that, tonight you're voting on a mayor. Who's going to be a new mayor? About 2 months, you're going to be voting on the alderman for the district. I know that there's a big urgency to try and use impact fees because it's one of those use them or give them back. But 2 months in the scheme of things, after all these years, you know, I really think I appreciate that the Parks Commission is moving this forward. But you know, I'm agreeing with lots of the comments that are here. This just seems way, way, way too premature. And I know you have a motion on the floor, and it's fairly complicated, and I'm not going to repeat it. But maybe the best motion is just to table this item until you have a new mayor and a new council in place. We're talking about a whole lot of money here, and you're talking about potentially upsetting lots and lots of folks. And then, you know, I know we need people are saying we need more ball diamonds, but when I do an aerial view of the city, we have all kinds of ball diamonds sitting at St. James Church and over at Countrydale School that just aren't being maintained, and we have soccer fields like that too. So I just think the whole thing is premature, and especially when you're voting on who's the mayor going to be, and 2 months from now, who's going to sit up here as common council members. So, Alderman Will.
Premature 1998, maybe. I don't know, premature. Maybe a long-standing and never developed might be a better fitting word. If you look at the 3rd District, it is the most densely populated, close together section of all of our city. It has very limited park, especially developed park. So I guess I disagree. You may look at all the rest of the city and find things everywhere, but the 3rd District really does not have the amenities that other districts are afforded. If we don't start moving on this, we just purchased a road which the council supported and almost said they had needed it so bad they were willing to do eminent domain to take. I find that, you know, which way are we going? You know, you put it in the budget. Mayor put the money in the budget. I didn't put the money in the budget. So we're sending mixed messages. We either put the money in the budget because we put it for a purpose, because we're going to do it, and we purchase the land because we have plans to do it, or we stop doing that. I'm not the one who's driving force, but the reason why, Mayor, you might not have the pulse of the community is because they're doing the chain of command and they're coming to me first. I'm hearing from the people about what they want. And I'm not hearing, other than a couple people over by Victory Creek who understandably don't want the parking lot, understandably don't want a basketball court right there. The people in Evergreen that are bearing the brunt of this traffic, including a fireman who I thought would just be real concerned about safety in and out, fully support this project. So I'm not too concerned about people jumping up and down and being angry about it, because I've been out there. I've taken the pulse of the community at the best of my ability. I've put out a newsletter. I've taken phone calls. I've been on the streets. I don't think there's much more an older person could do to get the pulse of the community. So it really doesn't matter that much to me if we move forward or not. The motion in place does not spend any funds. It just, the only funds that could possibly be spent is Mr. Bennett believes he needs to engage a consultant in order to repair this, the items that are in here, and that's on an as-needed basis. And there are funds already budgeted for him to do that. So everything else is all staff looking at the budget, the timeline, estimates. Mr. Bennett's already designed the road. So I don't see where we have any great risk here. And it might just finally take care of a project that's been out there since 1998, when we said to the DNR, we're going to buy this property, you give us the money, and we're going to put this in here, which we never came through with our bargain on the park.
Alderman Mayor, then Alderman Dandria, and Alderman Taylor.
A question, then a comment. Now, the current motion, does, the way I understand it, it is to build the road and the parking lot.
No.
Okay.
It's to come up with timelines, estimates, and costs for this council to review to see if they want to say yes or no.
Okay. My only point would have been, if we don't know exactly how this is going to be set up, it doesn't seem to make sense to build the parking lot in a certain place until we know where the other pieces are going to go. And I sympathize with the residents for the traffic, but if it's phased in, the traffic's not all going to be there at one time.
That's right.
Alderman Dandria?
What we also have to remember is what was the initial reason to extend Evergreen to this point? And it's to make that parcel of land that's about 25-plus acres marketable.
Mm-hmm.
Correct, Jack? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's doing, is it's making this 25-acre parcel that would be to the left of the plan, that becomes marketable and developable to the community, correct?
Well, I think the reason for extending the road is to get access to the park.
To this park that's landlocked right now.
Right, and without that, I wouldn't say marketable, because I don't think the city can sell that land, because that was bought with a state grant. But usable, I would not say marketable, but usable.
But
we can't market that.
But what it did do is it made that other parcel of land just to the left of the park more valuable to the owner of that land.
I would think so, yes.
Okay, and of which it is for sale.
Yes.
Okay.
Alderman Taylor?
Thank you, Your Honor. This land deal, then there was the north and the south. You had Marquette, and then you had this, and it was kind of like a trade-off. We'll fund one, but we got to fund the other. That was before, I think, the Alderman, Mayor, and Dandria. That was before your time. Alderman Solomon was sitting in the second district. I can support the motion, but until I actually see data, I mean, you may be walking the streets and talking to people, but either I want to see a chart saying this is how many people want a soccer field, this is how many people want a basketball court, I can't support it. because, I mean, I can support a park being there, but I don't know what's going to be there. And the mayor is absolutely correct. You put a basketball court in someone's backyard, they're not going to be happy. You put a ball diamond, they're not going to be happy. So you need to know exactly what the people want. Some of it can be open space. You talk about being dense, then maybe people want to go to an area where they have an open field. So you don't have to cram as much as what's in there. And so, like I said, I can support the motion because it's you know, the mayor's right. You know, we're having an election tonight. We're having an election in our 5 weeks, and we'll have maybe some new bodies up here. And what's going to happen is this is going to take some time. There's nothing we can't put a shovel in the ground right now. So let's at least get the data, find out what the people actually want. But right now, I have some nice, you know, a pretty picture, but I don't know how many people are going to use it and if this is the right thing, because the mayor's right once again. You have ball diamonds around this city that are not being maintained, and some of those are on school property. And, you know, and that's in residential subdivisions. Now, you know, that's not to say that I'm trying to point fingers at the school district, because I'm not, because, you know, if there's not a demand for it, then why would they waste the money? But in this case, we want to make sure, you know, we heard that there's not enough soccer fields. Well, maybe you have two soccer fields, no ball diamond. And we hear, all I said all the time about softball diamonds. Maybe you need two softball diamonds and have a place where people will go to play softball and have it. So I don't know what's going to be there, but I think we need data.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Schmidt.
Yes, well, I think the fact that we have this concept here is causing us to push the panic button, and we're getting way ahead of ourselves because we're only here to look at the initial road in there and a parking lot. And as time evolves, when people have access to that area, it may then determine how many needs we actually need in there. Do we want a softball field, or do we want tennis courts, or do we want to have a soccer field? But we're just getting too far ahead on this project right now, I think.
And that's why the motion that's suggested in the packet says a motion to approve the conceptual site plan. My motion does not include in approving that because I'm not in 100% agreement with it. But I am in agreement with maybe having something. If you read through the comments, like, the only thing that really sounds like somebody wants is they're okay with a tennis court. Well, okay, so a year from now you put in one use and leave it at that until the other areas develops. But the parking lot is important for a couple reasons. One, with the road extended access, and if we don't put this access in, we're never going to have access to this park because it is landlocked. But if we don't put the parking lot in, the people were concerned that people would park on their street because it's a wider collector street, and the extension narrows and you can't park on it. Therefore, the parking lot keeps the people from parking in front of their homes. Two, the parking lot is needed if you want to load up your bike or load up your dogs and park there and get on the new trail we put in. You have an access point because there is no parking area over by Victory Creek in the subdivision by the bridge, and there is no parking area by the school because the school is already blocked up. So that new trail we put in, this is the parking lot that would serve that new trail. So even if you never develop that park, you have a road and an access for a purpose, even if it's a natural area purpose, which would be fine with me. That's why I'm just, you know, let's okay. Bring all the costs and decide what we're going to do.
Let's
Alderman D'Andrea.
Let's call the vote.
Yes.
Okay. So there's a motion to call the vote. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to end debate. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. You now have the motion on the floor that was made by Alderman Wilhelm, seconded by Alderman D'Andrea. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it, motion carries. All right, democracy in action. Item G5, resolution imposing conditions restrictions for the approval of special use for a truck repair and towing business use upon property located at 11113 West Forest Home Avenue.
So moved.
There's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
It's my understanding that there are no limitations on the hours, and the residents that made the comments are concerned about the noise, and these trucks will be beeping at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's not my district. I just want to call it to your attention. I have had heard no oppositions because the district representative isn't here, but if anyone else has a concern on that, now is your opportunity.
Mr. Deal.
The alderman is correct. The applicant is mentioning a certain limit on their hours now, but eventually envisioning going 24/7. Staff has a suggestion of limiting those hours, but it never showed up in any motion or the resolution.
Staff recommended approval, and the vote was 5-1. I believe Mr. Bennett voted against it.
I believe so, yes.
Not highest and best use, right? Not the, something like that. Okay, there's a motion on the floor. Alderman Schmidt?
Yeah. Well, I do have some reservations just due to the fact of the nature of the business being right on the border of, you know, welcome to Franklin, in that area that we're having a trucking towing service there. I would prefer if it was somewhere else that was less prominent in the city. But there are many restrictions that have been suggested by the planning department, and hopefully that they will follow those to minimize any possible problems.
Alderman Taylor.
Don't we have, like, a big metal, like where people put scrap metal there? Isn't there a body shop there? I mean, isn't that what that corridor is kind of already?
Well, there's some fairly nice buildings.
I mean, we do have I know we have a vet is there.
We have the country
and
the
bowling alley is there.
Which is really spruced up.
Right, Menards. But where this is.
Well, you have Ewald's, I think, that's right next
to this is Forest Home. There, yeah. That would be across the...
Well, they're right behind.
Behind. Has there been any opposition to this?
There's a couple of neighbors, because there's a residential district right across the street from it.
I mean, it's kind of difficult. I made the motion to approve, but, you know, with Alderman Skronsky here, I don't know what kind of feedback he's gotten, but it did pass Plan Commission. Do we know where, you know, this is his district and what kind of concerns that... been made aware of him?
I didn't hear any concerns from him. I did raise concerns. Actually, I agreed with Mr. Bennett, which is one of those rare things that happens.
But well, you know,
I just thought this wasn't the highest and best.
I'm going to withdraw my motion and make a motion to refer the next meeting so that way we can get some have some conversations, so hopefully with the alderman in the district.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
It's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G6, moving along. Request for authorization for engineering staff to advertise for bids for 2014 local street improvement program with inclusion of the Shadwell subdivision streets and South 82nd Street sidewalks in bid specifications. Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, the only reason we put 82nd Street in was that the Complete Streets and Continuity Committee recommended sidewalks on a short section of 82nd Street, and it was placed in the budget, but that's why there's a separate council action on it, because this was placed in the budget but not authorized unless so authorized by the council. So I understand maybe from the alderman you want to delete 82nd Street, so maybe you would want to take first action on 7, and if you don't want to go ahead with 7, just strike 82nd Street out. That's not in the road program. That's in the special budget for projects. But you're right. This was just a recommendation from the the Complete Streets and Continuity Committee. That's the only reason we put it in here.
Spencer, I'm counting 18 separate projects here, all that kind of range throughout all 6 aldermanic districts. I guess I'd point out that this was put in the annual budget, approved by the alderman. Absent the alderman voting for a budget, the people's streets wouldn't get repaired, right? There would be no money for it.
Well, we have to go out for bid. This would be a public works project, so we have to go out for bid. We think it's in the best interest of the city to get out early on bids to try to beat some of the other communities to the punch.
That's not my question. My question is, if the alderman didn't vote for the budget, these road projects wouldn't get completed.
That's correct.
Like all the potholes that are throughout the city and the bumps and all those things, right?
Well, the potholes are actually fixed out of another budget, but if you don't maintain the streets, then you get a lot more potholes after a severe winter.
I just, my point being is that there's been a lot of discussion about budgets and things like that, but, you know, if you don't vote for budgets, you don't pay the salaries for the police, the fire, for the streets, for parks, for libraries, and things like that. Alderman Mayor?
I would like to take G7 separately or first, if we could.
Is there any objection? No. Item 7? A motion to authorize staff to receive bid costs for the installation of sidewalk on South 82nd Street from Ben Franklin Elementary School to one block north. Alderman Mayor?
I think it seems kind of arbitrary to me. I don't know what good it really would do there. The residents weren't notified about this officially. They found out somehow, and they came. It just seems arbitrary. I don't think it's really necessary. If it's a congestion issue, then I think there are other issues we could look at. But to me, it would just be moving the congestion up further if that's truly the intent. If it's something else with parents dropping off or picking up, that's a school district issue that they need to reroute their traffic patterns. So I think it's not a necessary thing. If it was a part of a comprehensive plan that included sidewalks further out into the neighborhoods, maybe then I would support it. If it was part of a comprehensive plan to reduce the congestion by the school district, maybe I would support it then. But as it stands, I don't support it.
Are you making a motion to deny?
I would move to deny.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, this item came before the Complete Streets Committee. Mr. Romeis had looked at areas where we could make school accesses safer. There was a lot of discussion. One of the things that people, instead of getting caught up in the traffic by the school, they were dropping their kids off and having them walk. Well, having younger age children, the committee, and as Mr. Romeis pointed out, felt it was safer to have them all coming from one particular place instead of just dashing out across the street at different places. So the walk was kind of like to direct them and where to cross. We thought it was a small project that would make the area a little bit safer. I think we've kind of lacked all this connectivity by the school, and we're either going to try to work to make the community safer or we're not. I'm going to compare this to the approximately 30 to 35 homes along 51st Street when this council said, Alderman Wilhelm, you need to do what's right for your entire district, not just for the people along 51st. And that was like 30 to 35 people, not really wanting a sidewalk. So you have two people. I totally understand that they wouldn't want it. But should a child get hurt, I want the council to know that there was a recommendation to try to prevent it. And that's all it is. Like I said, we're either going to move towards safety in the community, especially around schools, or we're not.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Hello, Taylor.
We've done a lot of goofy things here these last few years, last 6 years. And even before I even got to this city, we put up sidewalks on Oakwood Road to nowhere. And frankly, when this committee was formed and we started talking about this, I remember saying, I'm going to support it, the concept. But when we start just going around and slapping up sidewalks that don't make any sense, I'm not going to. And the sidewalk, from the high school to Sendix, where there's a business area, there was a reason why I supported that. There was going to be traffic. You do have a subdivision. You do have places to go. You have Clare Meadows. That was something I could support.
It was based on complaints.
I have the floor.
I'm just wanting to let you know that. I forgot to say that.
And so I'm going to catch my thought here for a second. But here you have a situation where this committee decided to do something in front of a school. Guess what? Did the school district come forward and ask for it? I'm asking if the school district came forward. I guess the answer is no. North Cape Road, we heard loud and clear about sidewalks. You know, people don't want them. No one from the school district came here. When we wanted to put a path behind the high school to a subdivision, we got resistance from the school district wanting to help pay for it. So until I have someone from the school board, which they can't speak, I've been told, by themselves, and you know, it's only they don't speak out of turn. I don't understand how they operate compared to us. But until I see the superintendent or someone from the administration getting up on a microphone and asking for a sidewalk and saying, and we're also going to help pay for it, I'm not going to do this. So I support this motion 100%. And this kind of stuff has got to stop. It's wasting it. Because if staff time is being involved in this, listen, I got drainage problems in my district that have been going on a lot longer than this committee's been in existence. And we need to knock it off. Thank you.
Yep. Alderman Wilhelm?
In defense of the Complete Streets Committee, they were asked to look at this. They weren't going around looking for things, and they were asked to seek neighborhood input. Some of the committee members happen to have parents that live around here, and the complaints came from that. This wasn't just some willy-nilly, oh, let's go try to find a place to put a road in or a sidewalk in. It was thought out. It wasn't pushed by the committee. I think there was thought put into it. To try to beat up a committee who's trying to solve problems that people are complaining about isn't necessary. You just vote it down if you don't want it. That's fine. I don't have a problem with it. This isn't my project, but you have good, dedicated volunteers that have put a lot of time in, that are trying to help address people's concerns, like the gentleman who came and spoke at the microphone tonight that said he never knew about his opportunity. There is no reason why the committee shouldn't be allowed to look at them, bring a recommendation forward without being slapped.
I just want to stand up. I just want to stand up for the committee. Nobody's slapping the committee. The committee did a great job. They brought a recommendation to us, and we chose not to follow that recommendation. Our citizen committees and commissions are a huge part of our government. Without their recommendations, where would we be? So this is not at all a slap against them. This is just something that I feel there's a huge difference between a committee recommending something that they believe is a good idea and then us committing time and resources and finances to the project and taking land away from citizens.
Alderman Dandridge?
You know, the committee is doing a great job, but the committee didn't complete the job. They should have taken a tally and gotten the reports to show us the number of complaints. I mean, I want to agree with the other ones on the board here. Is show us the support or the lack of support in this project. It's just not the committee coming up. And yes, it's a feel good. It may be a good gesture, just as Alderman Mayer mentioned. Show me the safety issues and the concerns that are out there. And then maybe we can justify this block of a road here for $15,000. Granted, it's not a lot of money, but is it really needed?
Alderman Wilhelm?
I think had the committee known it was coming forward within this road budget, they might have done that, but no one informed the committee it was coming forward. So missed opportunity, once again, lack of communication.
Questions and calls or a second for calling the question? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? There's no discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. On the motion to deny, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G6.
And Mr. Mayor, I presume you will strike and South 82nd Street sidewalk from that motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. So we're clear, could you ask?
The motion to it basically authorize staff to go out to bid for the 2014 local road improvement program. with not including or with striking Shadwell subdivision streets.
No, not Shadwell.
With the sidewalk.
82nd.
Oh, the 82nd Street sidewalk. Okay, yeah, the 15,700. That's all, okay, right.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify.
I had my hand. That's real quick, the mayor was talking about budgets and things like that. You know, this time of year, stuff starts flying in the mailboxes and that. You know, there was a reason why when the TIF district closed out, the Common Council put money, besides property tax relief, but put money into the local roads program, because when I got here, we were maybe supposed to put $1.4 or $1.5 million a year into it, and now that number is quite a bit higher because we were shortchanging that fund. And the same thing went with the revolving equipment fund, which was going to, I believe, become bone dry in maybe 2018 or something. So there's a reason why not all of it went right back to a levy reduction. And so when the mayor talks about this Common Council and former Common Council making tough decisions, it's because if you don't spend money on roads, you get the potholes. If you don't do the maintenance, you get the potholes. And if you take a look, there's streets in every single district. And it's not because we like one alderman better than the other. It's because that we have a PACER program, we drive this city, it's 34 square miles, and we take a look at what roads are necessary, and that's what comes to us. We don't pick and choose. We don't take things out.
Just on that note, not that I'm on top of this issue, but if you look at the 2012 adopted budget by this council, the summary document on page 2, paragraph 2, you'll read that the money from the business park could not be totally returned to the taxpayers because of things like the local road program. But in fact, the money was used from the business park to support the services without having to move up the taxes even further for the public. So it was used for tax relief, despite the types of things that you might be hearing. And again, for those of you that look at the 2012 adopted budget, page 2, paragraph 2 in the summary, you will see that it is clear, and it also takes into account an ecofuel explanation of the garbage collection fees, just in case you're getting questions.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for giving me that opportunity.
Absolutely, Your Honor. You're welcome.
Are we going to vote?
We're going to vote.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? 5 ayes, no noes. I
have. Can we mark it as unanimous, Your Honor?
If there's no objection, I'd like to record the vote as unanimous. Thank
yes.
you. Okay. And item G8, moving on, ordinance to amend section 245.5D, paren D4 of the Municipal Code to establish no parking on the east side of South 31st Street. Alderman Wilhelm?
Yeah, this is residents have a very wide street in front of them, but due to the no parking signs that went up, on weekends when there are no people from Northwest Mutual, they're not allowed to have parking or guests that can park anywhere. And since there is no need for Northwestern to be limited during weekend hours or holidays when there's nothing there, they're requesting to be allowed to have some parking in front of their homes to accommodate guests, holidays, and one particular family has a church group that comes in and would like to be able to have guests. So they do put up with the smoking, pedestrians. Northwest Mutual has a no smoking policy on site, so the people park along this street and go out there and they get warm in their cars and they stand on the sidewalk and smoke. So I think the least we can do with the, you know, wide road they have and the smoking issue that they is give them a place to park on the weekends, and I'd like to see support of just the changing of the sign from no parking at all to allowing them to have weekends.
Is that a motion?
Alderman Schmidt?
Yes, this was reviewed in front of Public Works, and we did determine that there was really seemed to be no harm in making this accommodation for this particular restriction.
If I can, I don't quite understand the way I read this, and maybe I'm wrong, but right now parking is allowed on 31st Street. Is that correct?
No,
there's not. There's an area with no parking.
Right.
There's an area with no parking.
And it's no parking all the time, and they want to just change those signs to no parking except on weekends.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the residents, if they have company coming over, they can park in front of the house.
Okay, because, I mean, when we talk about 31st Street, immediately everybody goes Northwestern Mutual, but that stretch of the road between Drexel and Rawson could accommodate, let's say, a large hotel complex or office buildings or another complex the size of Northwestern Mutual. So are we doing anything that's going to be restricting parking for the future businesses there?
No, okay. No. And I did call Northwestern Mutual to find out, again, why people are parking there. And it's not really, I always thought it was a smoking myself. But I talked to Catherine Young, who has kind of been my contact for years at Northwestern Mutual. There's probably two reasons people are parking. Number one, Northwestern Mutual does charge for parking in their structure to their employees. And number two, they have a free shuttle that goes downtown. So if people in Franklin are assigned to downtown, if they park, they can ride the free shuttle downtown.
And they're smoking.
And there's a few for no smokings. But this will still allow Northwestern Mutual to park there during the week, but will allow residents to park in front of it, because some of this is in front of people's houses.
Right.
So on the weekend, and they still, you know, they we'd like to keep the parking away from the intersections, and that's what we're doing. So this will work out. It'll cost very little because we can use the aluminum blank. We'll just put a new face on it.
So Catherine Young, chief counsel for Northwestern Mutual,
yes.
Person we negotiated the
yes.
deals with.
She's my buddy.
Yeah, one of the smarter peoples on the planet. She's okay with this.
Yes, she is okay.
Just so I don't get a call from the
no,
new CEO.
She's
or
she's very much
or,
okay.
Does she smoke?
I doubt it.
Well, then, thank you, Your Honor. And then on the weekends, it's a ghost town there. So I can see where, you know, you don't. Yeah, where you. So I don't have a problem with this, but I think the mayor's right to ask. And the thing is, we always can undo it. If there's a situation where we always can undo it, and I'm glad that we did have the communication with Northwestern Mutual, because then we're kind of covered ourselves a little bit, because we don't like to upset our, you know, corporate friends.
Well, and I'm pretty sure Catherine, because we call her Catherine because we spend so much time negotiating sure. things. But she has authority to speak on behalf of the CEO. So. Okay, Alderman Wilson.
I'm going to make the motion, but just so everyone's information, this actually makes it more available to Northwestern Mutual, not less
okay.
available.
All right.
A motion to adopt the ordinance to amend 245.5D4 of the municipal code to establish no parking on the east side of 31st Street, 7500 block south from 50 feet north to 200 feet south of Drive Northwestern Mutual to include except on weekends and holidays.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. G9. This went to the Personnel Committee. Greg?
Yes, it did. And the memo provided at your space provides a revised motion based upon the action of the Personnel Committee.
Is there a motion to approve the job description for a program and outreach coordinator?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Yes. Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? What?
That motion that was read from your packet doesn't include the revised motion of the memo
right.
before you that was requested by the Personnel Committee.
Was I supposed to know that there's a revised motion in front of
you? It's in.
Yeah. All right. So that motion doesn't work for you?
You going to read it or shy?
So the Library Board and Personnel Committee would we both concur with the motion on the revised memo based upon their action.
Okay, my question is, do you want that first motion rescinded and a new motion, or is the motion work?
That motion can stand because it is incorporated into this. You just need the remaining portion of it.
Okay. And for the record, Alderman Wilhelm excused herself at about, 8:44. All right. On the motion, and it was seconded.
Dan made the motion, and I seconded it.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. For the record, Alderman Wilhelm has now moved back in to the chambers.
Good.
Item G10, resolution to amend civil service system personnel administration program and the employee handbook for
first year of employment accrual for personal holidays for dispatchers.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Resolution to amend the clothing allowance language in the employee handbook.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. This, too, went through the personnel committee.
Yes.
Okay, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Agreement with AT&T for continued provision of long-distance telephone services.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Just so I understand the motion, to authorize the Director of Administration to execute a standard form agreement with AT&T for the continued provision of long-distance telephone services. Do you plan on returning to the council with the executed contract before?
Not as the motion is standing.
Just so it's clear. All right. Motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Recommendation of alternate design for the reconstruction of South North Cape Road, City of Franklin, Complete Streets and Connectivity Committee. I see that we have some recommendations, but I believe that Milwaukee County has said that they are not going to be receiving CHIP funds, state funds, which means that Trans 75 doesn't kick in, which means that there's no sidewalk. So I don't know, maybe I'm misreading this motion, but it seems like the entire issue was made moot by this common council at its last meeting. And I guess I would also, I see that there are recommendations coming from the Complete Streets Committee. But this seems to be, and that's all I'm going to say, this seems to be in contradiction or in conflict with the main motion that was made by this council. Alderman Wilhelm?
Sitting on the Complete Streets Committee, I'd like to give a clarification. This was brought before the Complete Streets Committee for their recommendation after the fact. Have no idea why. Maybe it's political. But I guess Member Haley felt that it was a safety issue, and he also, there was the gentleman that spoke here tonight that said only the people on North Cape were notified. Had the greater area, the school, parents been notified that maybe there would have been more people willing to stand up and say anything, but the people that did come, he felt, and many of them did feel intimidated. We heard those conversations about the people that did want to walk away were intimidated, and the people that were on the street, it was the NIMBY issue. And so I knew it was a losing battle. I told the commissions that, you know, the committee wasn't going to get anywhere. I also made the comment that had the Plan Commission, Council, and Mayor supported the Complete Streets Committee when the recommendations for the guidelines went through the Plan Commission rather than being referred to committee, which is the best way to put something off, the well-known way to delay something. It would have been to the council. It would have been in place prior, but that there was not a real desire for that to happen. And I did not support the motion because, as you can see, I abstained from that. But I was in favor of what we had talked about at the council meeting, which is the second motion, and that's to have staff look at alternative connections. The gentleman that came to the meeting pointed out that if he could only get across the street to, what's the park that's there?
Ken Wendell Park,
then they could access the trail from the backside. And we did talk about the possibility of that. So I think the first motion was made to make a point, more so than expecting any action. And the second motion was made to come up with an alternative from the people who still feel like there's a safety issue.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the political issue, because when I read this, that's the first thing that came to mind was we had maybe 100 angry people in this room, and then we were able to literally pull off what I'd call a miracle in government, being able to get Milwaukee County, the state of Wisconsin, and the municipality to agree on an item, and literally I put it in the category of a miracle. preserve the trees and at the same time look at alternative ways to get pedestrian traffic to our schools. And my first read of this was that, and I'm sure it wasn't intended, but my read of it was that the committee might think that they also have policy-making authority.
Which
they do not.
Completely wrong.
Well, let me make it clearer. As the chairman of the Common Council, this is the policy-making body.
I think they know that, Mayor.
This is the only policy-making body.
They're well aware of that, Mayor. Well aware of that. You don't even need to go there with that.
Given that these are my appointments, and given that I got calls on this today going, what, are you going back on all of your promises? Yeah, I do have to bring this up.
Who put it on the agenda for the committee when it was already passed by the council? Who sets the agenda? Who put it on the agenda? That was staff. That wasn't the committee members.
We had one email, and based on the one email, the committee took that up. But the way I'm looking at it, the hundreds of people that came down, those issues were ignored. That's not their job. That's our job. We set the policy. These are our constituents.
Their job is to make a recommendation to the council, which they did.
No. I guess I would ask the council. So I'm not going to be here, but maybe the council should take a look at the connectivity committee and a direction to the connectivity committee.
Yes, and get rid of them, because the council doesn't support any policies. But the second motion was to recommend the Common Council allow staff to work with the school district to investigate alternatives for access to Country School for safety and connectivity for the neighborhood. That would include the area way up by Ken Wendell School, which has nothing to do with changes to North Cape or sidewalks on North Cape. It's a crossing, like paint some stripes on the road so people can have a safe place to walk.
Well, I have really supported the Connectivity Committee, and I still do, and I think that trying to connect the Oak Leaf Bike Trail to the trails such as the Hunger Task Force and those things, I think they are very admirable and that we should be doing everything we possibly can to do that. We had an issue tonight with people that showed up that I've never seen in 15 years show up at a council meeting, because nobody told them that they were going to put a sidewalk right through their yards. And that was a recommendation from the Connectivity Committee. Where did that come from? And now we have this.
Your staff keeps putting those things on the agenda. Tell your staff to quit put them on the agenda.
All right. I would ask for a motion to table indefinitely item G13.
So I second that.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed,
I'll
ayes
abstain.
Have it. Four ayes, no noes, one abstention. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Mayor, I have a question.
Yes, Alderman Wilhelm.
On the item that was just tabled, the council, not the Complete Streets Committee, made the recommendation about finding accesses, and the council was okay with the second motion. Are you now saying you don't even want to find any way for the people to cross the street?
I'll be very clear. I think the Connectivity Committee is over-exceeding their boundaries, and this has happened in the city before where committees forget who they report to. They report to this Common Council, and we, this council, are the elected representatives of the people.
I had the floor.
Not
wasn't
the members
finished.
Of the boards and commissions.
So my question was that the council had originally been supportive of that, but because it was brought before the committee and a recommendation came back that the council didn't like, now we're going to eliminate any alternative for safety at the school.
I think I've made my point perfectly clear.
Yes, I realize.
Item G14, budget preparation timetable for 2015 budget and rescheduling a September 2014 regular committee of the whole Common Council meetings and the November 4th, 2014 Common Council meeting.
Motion to approve. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
Mayor, we have license.
Alderman Taylor.
And permits. We have operator new, Roberts, approve with a letter. We're going to skip the second item to the...
No, I thought we weren't going to do it with a letter.
What?
I thought we weren't going to
do it... No, with a letter.
Oh, you want to do
it
with a letter?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll skip the second one and come back to it. Item, the third one is operator new. Frui, approve. Mertz, approve. Ramirez, hold for appearance. Trudeau, approve. St. Martin's of Tours Church, approve. Franklin Lacrosse Club, approve. Ragnar Events, approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is it moved and seconded? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
On the second item, go ahead, Mark.
Steve, you can keep talking.
What we have here is a business, Indian Buffet on 76th Street, and this goes back to we have X amount of reserve licenses. It's a $10,000 fee for the liquor license, and they're requesting some sort of discount, let's say. And our past practice, like Gus's was a perfect example, we denied that. And we've denied other restaurants as well. I know we have an economic development factor, but the only thing we ever did discount was the Staybridge Hotel because it's not a restaurant, and it's you know more for just their guest as an amenity. So that's where we're at on that. I don't support giving a discount. We haven't done it to other or a rebate or a reduced amount, whatever you want to call it. But Alderman Dandrea wanted to discuss it at this level. So,
Alderman Dandrea? I mean,
Steve, that's right. You know, they came to us. They took over where the Chinese restaurant was, next to the dry cleaners or next to George Webb's, okay, on the west side of 76th Street in that strip center. And they've incurred a lot more expenses than they had envisioned taking over that facility. And they came to us asking for some consideration. And so Steve and I, granted, historically, everything is there in regards to what the city has done. Okay. We were wondering, okay, was there a different, could we come up with something that could ease this permit for this year? Could we do 5,000 and 5,000? They were asking for some relief somehow. Do we have to give them a full grant? No. But can we offer an option of payment for them? They need a full liquor license. They can't just get away with a beer license because it's an Indian restaurant that they would want to also have wine with it. And so that's the extent of the alcohol that they want to serve would be beer and wine. So we were looking at, because the city only has 26 licenses that they can issue, we have 14 reserve licenses, but as Steve mentioned, they're at a cost of $10,000 for the first-year applicant. Okay, so they were asking us, they're creating 5 jobs, 1 part-time, in a restaurant that they took over, that they were changing over to the Indian cuisine. So they were coming to us to ask us for an option. So that's what we're doing.
Mr. City Attorney?
Only that the agenda packet does include a copy of ordinance number 169-3, and the basis for determination by the Common Council to approve any portion or grant or portion thereof for a Class B liquor license reserve would be that the establishment provides employment, promotes tourism, and increases the city's personal and real property tax base. Those are the factors for consideration. Just thought I'd throw that out there, and also for whatever it's worth. There is currently a bill pending before the state legislature proposing to exempt restaurants from the reserve category of license.
I'm going to have to excuse myself. I have to pick somebody up at an airport.
Okay.
So.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good night, Mr. Mayor. So Mr. Taylor, do we move to delay this? Do we move to delay this for them? Or,
well, I mean, I suppose, pending the legislation, you know, we should make them aware of it. We can. I don't know if we want to approve it because then they're. I mean, I don't know legally what we ought to do.
Or do we refund it if pending legislation would?
Well, here's the thing. I don't, just because they go into business and things cost more doesn't mean that we refund.
No.
I'm not for doing it. We haven't done it in the past. And so why, I don't see justification now of doing it.
Council, could we split that payment of $5,000 this year, $5,000 next year? Give them.
We actually did that with Staybridge.
I did what?
We refunded them.
They refunded.
We refunded them most of it, like $9,500.
Okay. You take a big person, you take a little person. You charge a little person, you give the big person a break. But it was the economic impact that the State Bridge had that was probably more the consideration of giving it back versus.
Actually,
I mean,
that wasn't the discussion, as I recall, was more because it's not a bar, it's not a restaurant.
Okay.
They're not opening up to the public. It's for their guests that stay there, and that's why we reduced it.
Okay.
We didn't give it back to them because something cost too much money. We basically said, you're not a restaurant, you're not a bar. We're not going to treat you the same. Yeah, and it was restricted pretty much. And so, Mr. City Attorney?
Only that, in answer to Alderman Dandrea's question, the amount of the grant is fluid in the determination of the Common Council, and the actual amount decision is based in part upon the following. The determination as to the amount of the grant shall be based upon the consideration of the aforementioned public purposes to be furthered by the applicant. And then it adds the nature of the applicant's proposed premises and operations and their benefit to the community, and any frustration of such purposes and benefit in light of the applicant's and the proposed premises and operations' ability to pay.
Okay, so could we accept payment? Could we grant the license and accept payment over a six-month period?
Well, the way the grant application works is the license is paid for.
Okay.
And then the grant is a refund to the.
But I'm not recommending a refund.
Well, that's the way I understand the mechanics to work.
Okay. Oh.
Of course, the clerk's office manages that.
How does this sound? Let's just refer it 2 weeks. I mean, are they?
Okay. Yeah.
Because
I think they, 2 weeks is fine. Let's just wait. Let's think this through.
Right, and let's see what the state legislation. This is new. I mean, if they can get around it, and I have to pay it. Well, then that amount. Let's find out where that is, what the process it is, and but in no way, shape, or form do I support. Given a refund?
No.
So?
No. Okay.
So we'll make a motion to refer to the next licensing committee.
Okay. Yes, fair. And I'll second that.
Okay.
All right. All in favor, we have a motion. We have a second.
I second it.
Under discussion? Yeah. See none. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. All right, we're going to go to vouchers and payroll. We have a motion approving net journal checking account city vouchers in the range of numbers 151036 through numbers 151222 in the amount of $1,140,409.73 dated February 7, 2014 through February 13, 2014.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion approved and second. Mr. Liberta.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. A motion approving net general checking account city voucher check number 151223 in the amount of $2,138.14 dated February 18,
2014. Can you read that again? Is that the 21-38-14?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Motion. All right. We have a second?
Second.
All right. Mr. Liberta?
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
Motion carries 5. Do you get me? Aye. Yeah, 5-0. Casper was distracting me. Motion approving net payroll dated February 21st, 2014, in the amount of $344,296.84, and payroll deductions and city matching payments of $385,996.13.
So moved.
Second.
Motion carries. The motion and a second. Any discussion? Mark?
Who distracted there, Steve?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
5 ayes, 0 noes. Motion carries. Motion approving property tax refunds and settlements in the range of numbers 13173 through numbers 13229 in the amount of $14,354,848.30 dated February 6, 2014 through February
13, 2014.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Mark?
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
5 ayes, 0 noes. Motion carries. Motion approving property tax refunds and property tax settlements in the range of numbers 13230 through numbers 13260 in the amount of $5,174,806.53 dated February 18,
2014. So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Under discussion, seeing none. Mark?
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. We have a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. All right, we're adjourned.
He was the one to help.